It is another Loose Heads podcast in association with Talking Rugby Union. I'm Chris Hill and I'm joined by Rob Shotton and Dave Nicol, who are, of course, two of the three co-founders of Loose Heads. Guys, how are we doing today?
Very good.
Thank you.
Another day, another podcast. We keep churning them out, don't we, lads?
We do. We're doing well.
Busy.
Busy indeed. Now, today we're obviously going to be talking about rugby coming back, and it will be back on our TV screens this coming weekend, which is very exciting and also very welcome, with the sport being absent from our lives for such a long period of time. And someone who will be part of rugby returning will be our next guest on the podcast, and it's a delight to say that we are joined by Joe Marchant, England international, who's all the way over in New Zealand at the moment. Joe, thanks very much for giving us your time. How's things with you?
Oh, thanks for having me on, guys. Yeah, no, it's everything's all good here, out of lockdown. So, yeah, everyone's been training hard and ready to kickstart the season, yeah.
It must be music to your ears, Joe, to hear that rugby's coming back. And I know you've described the Prime Minister over there as a hero and as a boss as well, because of the way she's kind of handled the COVID-19 situation. So you must be delighted to be back to some sort of normality over there.
Oh, yeah, everyone loves her. So she's done a great job. And I mean, like, I've had people from back home messaging me and, like, sending me stuff from her, and they've been like, oh, like, she's been so great. So, yeah, I've been pretty lucky to be over here when she's managed to sort everything out. But, yeah, I think everyone's just pretty happy to be back, everything to be normal, and, yeah, for everything to be kickstarted going again.
Yeah, and from the rugby side of things, Joe, you must be looking forward to kind of the next few weeks for you. I mean, New Zealand derby speak for themselves, but to be back in action with the Hurricanes coming up this weekend must be extra special.
Oh yeah, 100%. Like, just excited to be able to, you know, to be able to go out and actually play some rugby. Like, it's going to be pretty tough competition. Like, training's been hard, and there's been lots of boys putting their hands up. So it's been, yeah. So fingers crossed to get the nod and then go from there.
Brilliant. Well, we'll come on to the blue stuff later on in the podcast, Joe, but it's a pleasure to have you on this morning for us, this evening for you. But normally with the Loose Heads podcast, we open up by talking about the importance of mental health in rugby. And I know when you were with Quinns, Joe, that you were very much part of the foundation there. And I know you did a few things around mental health as well. So how important is it for people to be aware of mental health and to talk about it?
I think it's massively important. I think it's something that, especially in sport, it's quite easy to go and not speak about, because it's, especially in rugby, it's quite a sport where, you know, yeah, people almost from a young age are told to, you know, just show, like, to not show any feelings, kind of just go for it. But actually being able to talk about things and make sure not just you but the rest of your teammates are all okay, yeah, mentally and physically, and so everyone can have a good good experience of you know, life in rugby together.
And Dave and Rob use of obviously Loose Heads as a platform and rugby as a platform to sort of get that message out, Joe. So do you guys as players, are you aware of sort of the platform that you have to promote sort of mental health awareness as well?
Yeah, definitely. We've done a fair few things actually with Quinns about talking about mental health, like resilience, like just all kinds of things like evolved around it. So I think it is really important that we carry on doing that and lift it as well, because it's just something that, if we can do and we can really make more public and get a lot more people on the same wave, then hopefully it will really spike it and there will be a lot less issues.
Yeah, definitely, Joe. I mean, you're still a young player, but you've been around rugby for quite a while, and mental health is a thing that affects people from a young age to an old age as well. So is it important to get that message out early to these players who might be coming through the pathway, and, you know, rugby is a massive part of their lives at the moment?
Yeah, definitely. I think probably for the young players, it's even more of a important thing to get across, because there's so many different. It's obviously a difficult time of your life anyway, but there's so many different variables, so many different things going on, and people will be experiencing a lot of different things, like here and there, different ups and downs, and just being able to manage it and make sure everyone's actually okay and no one's feeling that they can't speak to anyone or that feeling like they you know, they have to hide away from things. It's, yeah, it's not really a rugby that we want to be involved in. So yeah, if everyone can get out and make sure everyone else is okay, then we should be fine going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Joe. And just to go on to sort of your career now, if you don't mind, from when you started playing, I mean, on Talking Rugby Union, we did an article with you a few years ago now, and you talked about sort of coming through at Winchester when you were 5, 6 years old. Was it kind of, at that point, did you know that you wanted to become a rugby player, or was it just the enjoyment of the game and then it just progressed from there?
Oh, no, I always wanted to be a rugby player. It was one of those things at school where when you're in primary school and they ask what you want to be, you're like a rugby player, they're like, oh, that's great. When you get to secondary school, you say the exact same thing and they're like, okay, let's maybe think about, you know, future. And then you get to college and you say the same thing and they're like, right, come on, let's really think about this. But now it's for me, it was just something, I always wanted to do and always like picture myself doing it. So everything I did really was just around getting into that professional rugby environment, really. And just been so lucky and loved every minute of it.
And just, I've seen a piece where you mentioned that you wanted to emulate Will Greenwood as well. Was he your hero growing up?
I've actually got a fair few different heroes like around. I think I saw that piece, but he's obviously a player at Queens and everything that obviously going through, obviously one of the England greats that managed to, you know, win the World Cup as well. So he's definitely obviously a player I looked at. But growing up, I wasn't really a centre. Like I played a lot of fly half and like fullback and played at nine a bit. So honestly, like it was just all the players I loved were just in different positions. So it wasn't, to be fair, centre wasn't really one that I had at the top of my mind. But he's definitely a great and hopefully one I can maybe learn a bit more from and or get a chance to meet properly.
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. And in that piece with Talking Rugby Union that I mentioned there, it was around side of 2016, 2017. And when we had a chat, I kind of got the impression it was like quite a breakthrough year for you, really. I mean, you come off the back of, I think, the Under-20 World Championships with England in Manchester, and then you were getting a lot more game time at Quinns and scoring tries. I think it was in the big game as well around Christmas time. So would you agree with that 2016 was possibly a breakthrough year for you in terms of you were getting that domestic game time at Quinns?
Yeah, I reckon so. It was definitely the time where coming off the 20s, it was nice because I was able to play with guys my own age. I played a little bit of Prem rugby beforehand, but I'd only played like eight or so games, so I was like still quite fresh. But playing the 20s, my own age group, getting a little bit of confidence, and then going, and I think from the start of the next season, I managed to get a lot more game time, a lot more starts. And from there, it just kind of escalated, really. And just was lucky. I think that season was probably the one I picked up the most appearances for in a season. So, I mean, I was just really lucky. Obviously, there was a lot of opportunity to play, but also, I thought it was a kickstart to my career. Yeah,
and I think if I'm right in saying, Joe, as well, you were sort of in that season, or you might have been on holiday during the summer, I'm not too sure, but you were involved with a wider England squad, and I think you got a notification on Twitter, if that's right, to say you were in the squad.
Yeah, I was actually, we had a pre-season thing in America.
That was it,
pre-season tour, And I was, in my room with my roommate, Aaron Morris, and like, I just got this ding through on my phone. I was like, what's that? And then it was just like, it just said I was in, and I was like, that's so weird. Like, I haven't heard anything, like, honestly, I had no idea what was going on. And then following that, like, there was just loads and loads of, like, notifications. Next minute, like, they were just like, you've got to get on the flight home early. And I was literally on the flight with, like, Chris Robshaw, Mike Brown. And I was like, this is ridiculous. So, that was just amazing experience. So, I think it was only, like, a three-day camp or so. And then, I was back into Quinton. Oh, it was all a strange one. But, just literally a notification on my phone popped up.
Yeah, it must have been a bit surreal for you when you were sat on that flight with Mike and Chris going, we're not flying home, we're not going back to Quinns, we're actually going into an England camp.
Yeah, literally. I mean, I was actually sat next to Robbo. Like, I think he was meant to be sat somewhere else, and then he ended up sitting next to me. And, like, it kind of became a little real. Obviously, we went out there in a big group, so people don't really, like, come up to you, like, in a big group. But we were just sat there, and, like, the guy in front was like, oh, like, Chris Robshaw, can I get a picture, like, stuff of this? And there was me just watching the bodyguard next to him on the on my screen, and like, no one had any idea. So it was quite a cool moment. Yeah, I loved it.
And obviously, Joe, you've been able to continue your development at the Stoop, and it's now 85 appearances for you, and you're still only at 23 years old. So I don't think it was a surprise to people that you did sign a new three-year deal towards the end of last year. But in that deal was obviously the decision to go on loan to the Blues in New Zealand. I mean, how did that move come about for you?
So I was, it was actually a weird one, because I was in the build-up to the World Cup. I was in like the training squad, but I wasn't in the squad, but I was just training. Quinn said they wanted to re-sign me, and it was quite early on. Like, obviously, I've got until this July anyway to get a new contract, so it was pretty early. But then in it was a conversation with my agent before, which I've had for a couple of years. We spoke about Super Rugby and like wanting to experience it, and the timing just kind of came pretty well, because with the World Cup pushing the Prem back and the Super Rugby forward, they kind of like they kind of like ended up to a finish point at the same time, which would have been the end of June. So it was literally perfect for us, and we were just like, right, well, okay, let's go for it and see what Quinn say. We spoke to Guzzy, and he was on board with it. He completely understood why I wanted to go. He thought it'd be really good for my development, and then we just had to work out all the details. And then went on loan to Blues in January, the 1st of January, I think. And then I'm got to be back by the 1st of July. So yeah, but obviously with this whole COVID thing, it's kind of closed everything off and meant I couldn't play a lot of games. But you know, hopefully I get to play a few more, and then we'll be sweet.
Yeah, and you mentioned kind of the conversation you had with your agent there, Joe, and I've read that you grew up watching Super Rugby as a kid as well. So was it from that early age that you thought, oh, I might be able to give this a go further down the line?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, we had it on the TV like every Friday, Saturday morning, like Super Rugby. So it was always something like loved watching it, loved the style of rugby. Obviously, as well, I'm watching like Premiership. And I suppose growing up in England, obviously you wanted to play for, I wanted to play in the Premiership. I wanted to, you know, grow up, and I wanted to play for England. But obviously there was a little side part as well, which wanted me to do that. And the opportunity came, and just couldn't really say no. Like, we just put everything. It was obviously a massive decision with everything going on, and like coming like so close to going to the World Cup, and then like just missing out, and just everything. But it was just a massive decision, and we just went for it. So,
and obviously Quinns have got the link up with the New Zealand Rugby Union. Was this kind of a part of that partnership, or was this outside of that?
It originally started being outside of it, where it was just chatting to my agent, and like we were talking about it, and then it ended up linking up quite well. Like, I met up with the guy from the New Zealand side of it here. And so we spoke about how it all worked and everything, and like kind of got like spoke about a little more details of things that I didn't really understand too much, which was quite good, and the reason why they wanted to make the link. So it was quite good, because we had a guy come up, like Harry Plummer came over before for like a week, but there hasn't been too much going on in terms of guys going to and from. So hopefully this experience and being able to, you know, come from this side will spark a lot more young players to be able to, you know, go there, learn, come back, and hopefully come back better.
Yeah. Weird. Very weird.
Sorry if it is me.
Do you think there's many more players who might kind of try and follow in your footsteps, or who might benefit from it?
I think there'd be a load of players that could, especially a lot of the young ones coming through. There'll be, I don't know, guys like, you know, like Gabs or Marcus and stuff will be able to learn a load from it, which would be really good. And I think, I don't know, maybe they're the younger guys, even younger than that, to before anything happens, before they start playing, like a lot of Premiership games, maybe if they were able to go experience it and then come back, and having learned that, and it could like kickstart them and actually begin their Prem career. So I honestly think it could be a load of players that do it. So.
And I guess on the flip side, which guys would you like to see coming over from Super Rugby and having a go Prem?
Oh, there'd be obviously there's a lot of the big names you could always talk about, but I reckon I honestly think some of the young lads coming through, like there's number 8 called Hoskins Satutu, like who's been playing for us this year, who's been he's been class. He's only like 20, I don't know, like 22 or something. Like, and he's just been absolutely carving up. Like Mark Talia, the winger. Like, I've never seen anyone can beat that many players. Like, to be able to see that in the Prem would be pretty crazy. Like, he's only, what, 23? He's the same age or something. But, oh, there's loads of good players. So they just seem to have this, like, this branch of players, which is just is endless. So, yeah, it's making competition definitely training harder. So
I was going to say, have you had a word with Bowden and Dan? Yeah, Joe, and maybe saying, fancy a season at Quinns?
Oh, I had a little chat, but didn't talk about Quinns yet. Maybe I'll drop that in a bit later. But yeah, he's 38, so yeah, we'll have to, yeah, might be a bit too much going for another one more season. But yeah, maybe Bowden a bit later on. But yeah, we'll see.
I was listening to the Rugby Union Weekly, Joe, that you're on. I think it was at the start of this lockdown period, and Danny Kerr was saying that he asked your parents for you to stay at Quinns. But obviously the wider thing is what you mentioned, that Danny went on to say that he's pleased to see how well you're developing, and you talked about Paul Gustav there being so supportive. So is it great that you were able to move there with all your Harlequins teammates and obviously Paul supporting you along the way?
Yeah, definitely. Like it was becoming a really difficult time before I left with all the injuries, because I knew it would happen, but like, it seemed that all the centres like got injured at the same time, and it was right around that time, and I was still injured at the time, so it was a bit of question marks, and I had a lot of boys being like, "Oh, you're not still going," and I was like, "Yes, still am." And yeah, it was after a big game, I was walking through, and I was with my mum, and Dees turned around, and I was like, "Yeah, you're not really gonna let him go, are you? Like, he's surely not." And then yeah, so I end up going, but yeah, it's been good because I've been able to chat to a lot of the boys, and like been keeping off. Like in contact with a few like James Lang, like James Chisholm, like those guys at Marcus quite a lot. So been like chatting here and there, talking about things I've learned, like as well as just catching up. So hopefully going back into it, it'll be nice because yeah, I mean, time flies, doesn't it? So it'll honestly feel like no time's gone at all when I get back. Hopefully, so.
Reading the stuff before you moved, Joe, that you did have contact with Eddie Jones, and he was also supportive of the move. So I think from an outsider looking in, you might think, well, why is Joe Marchand going to New Zealand when he's just been in the England squad? But hearing what Eddie said to you must have been good for you, because the decision for you to leave wasn't because you weren't getting picked for England or being picked for the World Cup, was it?
No, it wasn't. Yeah, it was just something we just talked about, development, and it was only a brief conversation, but I just kind of just said it like that. I was thinking about doing it. Like, what do you think? Like, do you think it would be like good for my career and like my development? And he thought, yeah, he thought being able to play both Northern and Southern Hemisphere rugby would definitely be a big string to your bow, and like learning how they played down here and like all those kind of things would definitely help me for coming back. So I just took the World Cup of coming close as, you know, just like an added incentive to go away, like come back, like learn as much as I can, hopefully come back a better player, so that, you know, when the next lot of international games come, hopefully I can put my best foot forward.
I guess with that in mind, obviously the 13 shirt's looking quite competitive for England with guys like Henry Slade, Manu Tuilagi and Jonathan Joseph in there. So do you think kind of the move over has been beneficial from that perspective?
I think so. It's been obviously coming up against a lot of different opposition, and coming up against opposition that, if you know those guys who have been playing internationally, who they've played against, and you know, like they would have all played against all the centres that have played for New Zealand. So to be able to play against them week in, week out has been a really good opportunity. Just hopefully that, yeah, going back, it would be just something different, and maybe something that, you know, will give me a good chance of, you know, getting a chance to perform and see what I have learned and seeing what I can do. So yeah.
And do you feel it's brought anything kind of specifically out of your game, kind of going over to New Zealand?
I think definitely my attacking rugby. Like, I was obviously in the build, there's that whole attack defense kind of thing, and I've said before in previous things about the speed of the game and actually learning how to like kind of manage it and how to speed it up when you can. And hopefully it'd be something that I can bring back, and just hopefully it's something that I can, maybe especially at Quinns to start off with when I get back, we can add a little bit of those things in. But yeah, it's honestly a completely different game at the same time. It's crazy. Like you go from being at the rec on a cold Friday night and then playing in South Africa, like on a dry pitch at Newlands. Like it's crazy. Like the difference of levels, but now it's they're just different experiences. They're good.
And just to go back to sort of last summer as well, Joe, if you don't mind, in terms of those World Cup warm-up matches, obviously you made your debut for England and obviously you scored that try against Italy up in Newcastle. So did that give you a real taste? I know obviously you were thinking about going to New Zealand, but did that give you a taste of what you can build on when you do get back to England and hopefully back in that England camp?
Oh, I hope so. It was making my debut was, the thing that I've wanted since for as long as I can remember. So that was an experience in itself. I mean, it was only 30 seconds off the bench, but I mean, I'll take it. So, and then, yeah, the rest of the games, it was kind of the same, like just an amazing opportunity, amazing experience. Just wanted to take it all in. And yeah, it was just, it was tough with obviously all the timing around it. Like with my debut, they announced the squad the next day. So obviously I was on a high and then, literally the next morning they announced the squad. Same with the Italy game. It was I played that. I was on an absolute high afterwards, and then the following day, like they leave. So it was just a bit of a roller coaster, but it was just one big experience to learn from. And yeah, hopefully going forward, I'll be able to learn from that, and it will give me that incentive to go forward.
Because you mentioned that the squad was announced after your debut, Joe, but you're obviously still in and around the camp. You play so well against Italy. Was that kind of your mindset? You're like, okay, yeah, I'm disappointed not to be going to Japan, but let's just give him my all and show, Eddie and the England fans what I can bring to the squad when I do get him.
100%. Like, you never know what's going to happen, especially with World Cups. And I don't know how it works, but I suppose like the whole time in your head when you're in training and in camps, even though you're not in the squad, you just got that thing in your mind, like, oh, if I, I might be able to change their mind. Like, I don't know if they could, but like, just having that mindset the whole time and just being like, I'm going to keep trying, keep working as hard as I can. And if the opportunity does come, just absolutely take it. So the Italy game was literally an opportunity where I was like, right, this is the last hit out of everyone before going to the World Cup. Just give it everything and see what happens. And yeah, I was obviously gutted that they left the next day and that I wasn't able to go, but I loved the game, loved the experience, and yeah, it's just awesome.
And I guess as well, Joe, the hard work may continue when you do come back at the start of July, because I know you mentioned it's going to be like a third pre-season for you when you go back to Quinn's. So you're shaking your head. No, the listeners can't see this, but you're shaking your head. That must be tough for all those Bronco tests.
Oh yeah, well it's been. I think it's been like fourth or fifth mini preseason. Like I had like the England preseason, a tiny little one with Quinn's just before the main season there, and then had a mini preseason with the Blues when I first rocked up for about a month, and then again another little 3-week preseason here. So and then when I get back, I've got another one. So yeah, it's a lot of fitness tests. It's a lot of hard training with no games. So it's but it's all part of it, isn't it? So.
It's clear as well, Joe, that you've kind of really enjoyed your time over New Zealand, despite all the fitness work and the hard work that you've had to do. I mean, how much have you enjoyed being living over there and going around to see the different landmarks and sightseeing and stuff like that? Because it seems like Rob will testify to this, that New Zealand's one of the best places to live in the world.
Yeah,
Have you been?
Yeah, I'll bore everyone to death, everyone and anyone, about how good New Zealand is. It's the best country on the planet Earth, bar none.
Whereabouts did you go then?
So I did a trip around the North and South Island. I went on the Kiwi Experience bus, which was a good laugh.
Oh, that's so cool.
No, I loved it. I loved it. I loved Queenstown was probably my favourite place, if you get a chance to go down there.
We did actually head down there, just before the lockdown, luckily. So we had a little week off, so we booked our flight there, yeah.
Yeah, what else have you been up to?
Oh, we've been to like Waiheke Island, which has been cool. A couple of the vineyards there have been nice, especially if you've got a day off the next day, it's lovely. What else is there? Just tried to go up north a bit to Bay of Islands and saw the Waitangi Treaty Grounds. Did you go there?
Yeah, lovely up there.
Yeah, so nice. Except it was raining when we were there, so we actually didn't get to see the islands too much. We were kind of cramming in at the end. So it's a bit like, obviously, we're coming home soon, or we had to get as much in. But Rotorua as well, went down there, like Mount Maunganui. I went there recently. Yeah, loads of it. It's been, yeah, but Queenstown's 100%. Nah, it's all good though. Yeah, I loved it. Yeah, Queenstown was, yeah, it was, I reckon, the best one. I thought, yeah.
And from a rugby point of view, Joe, as well, you must kind of, before the lockdown, before this sort of new competition, you must have enjoyed going to sort of, as you said, South Africa to play in the sunshine against Stormers or over in Australia. So you do get to see parts of the world as well as playing rugby.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, it was quite tough. Obviously, I'm here with my partner, Abby, and like, I knew there was going to be a lot of travelling, but after the Crusaders game, which was on a Friday night, I think, they were just like, right, they picked the squad to go in the change rooms. We had to leave the next day at 5 a.m. And like, we were gone for 2 weeks. And like, it was kind of a bit like, right, okay, like, cheers for coming to the game. I'll see you in 2 weeks kind of thing. So she went and did her own thing. And then literally came back thinking, okay, it's all over and like, you can relax. But we had like a 5-day turnaround before we played the Hurricanes away. So it was again like, okay, hi, I'm back. And then straight down to Wellington. So it was, yeah, it's been cool though. It's been good being able to go out and see as much as we can. And I think the South Africa trip as well, because there was just 2 weeks solid with, you know, with the boys and getting to know everyone a bit better. Like your off days, you're actually doing stuff with them. Like you're going to play golf or you're doing whatever. So yeah, it's just all good experiences.
Yeah, because I was going to say that sort of long travel must help with team bonding as well, Joe, for someone like you coming in as a new recruit. So you get to know everyone at a different level, not just on the training field.
Oh, 100%. I mean, on the flight to South Africa, my TV was actually broken. And the guy next to me, Aaron Carroll, both our TVs broken out of all the guys. And like we were like pleased because it was like an over a 6-hour flight. So we got to fly business class and we were like, oh, this is amazing. Sit down and like, both of us were just there, like, yeah. So we just chatted like the whole way and like made really good friends. And he was actually the one, like, we went down to Mount Maunganui with him at the weekend and stayed with him and his partner and everything. So it's just these little like connections which just, you know, make everything good. And yeah, Africa was amazing for that.
And joining you since the lockdown period in training, Joe, has been obviously Bowen and Barrett's probably settled in now, and obviously Dan Carter last week has announced he's coming back to Super Rugby. So for you, I mean, you've said about being able to learn off these players and learn off the experiences of playing against these guys who, you know, ply the trade for the All Blacks, but to have Bowden and Dan Carter alongside you in the team must be quite inspiring.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, especially in training. Like there's two full back lines. You've got Bowden Barrett 10 on one team, Dan Carter 10 on the other. Like it's like just kind of things like that. It's pretty ridiculous. But like just even throughout the whole back line, like there's people all over the shop. Obviously, like I said, you've got Mark on one wing, you've got Caleb Clark who's come from New Zealand, Sevens on the other. Like our position in the centres the other day was Rico and TJ Farney, and it's just all this is happening all at the same time. And it's just, yeah, it's a crazy one. But it just means there's a lot more opportunities to learn, and like everyone's got knowledge which hopefully I can tap into and take some back with it.
And I don't know if this is right, Joe, but would you have probably watched Dan when you were growing up, potentially?
Oh, yeah, like, yeah. 100%. I would have seen him play, yeah, I've seen him play loads. And, yeah, just, it kind of makes it, like, weird. The other day, there was like, a really old game on the TV where he was very, very fresh-faced, like, straight on the scene, like, and it's crazy how long like he's been around, like how much he's like won, how much he's like done. Like, I mean, like World Cups, like Super Rugby's, everything, even like French top 14s, like everything. So to have like someone like that come into your team, and it's just an amazing thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it must be incredible getting to play with guys like that. I've seen kind of you talking around how tough it is kind of physically keeping up in Super Rugby. I think one of the quotes was that you nearly died during a play in a pre-season game. So like, how different is it?
It's just so fast. Like like I've said in other interviews, it's the actual time to get set, like in D, in defense is so much like, it's harder because it's just there's just no time to get set. So you're running back and they've made an offload, they've made a break, and then you're suddenly okay, you sprint back into position and then there's another offload. You're constantly going backwards and like you can't really get your bearing. And I think that's maybe the difference, because in the Prem, like there's the defense are real strong, like it's very physical games, like mauls, scrums, you know, you get your go forward from that, and then like people are punching off from there. But with this, like the go forward is the little offloads, it's the, you know, it's the eight people getting a touch on the ball, like kind of thing. Like we played against the Chiefs first game, and in the second half, Aaron Cruden came on and turned the game around, and there was a try where they had like eight offloads and scored. Like, and you can't do anything about it. Like you're trying so hard to scramble, you're trying to stop offloads. You just can't. So it's but yeah, that block I was talking about in the preseason game, like it was honestly, it felt like about 10 minutes, like end to end stuff. Like ball would go off, quick line out, like running it, like back and forth. I caught the ball on one of them, and I just was like, I can't do anything. I just literally just put my head down and carried, and that was it. Like I'm so knackered. So yeah, it's just crazy how quick it is.
We've seen a few players go over to New Zealand. You've got, you know, James Haskell, Piers Francis, and Jacob Umaga, just to name a few, who've gone over there to improve parts of their game, no doubt, but the whole experience grows them as an individual. We heard Jimmy Gopperth talk the other day, and he highlighted that when Jacob Umaga came back, he was like a different person. And I know a few people who have gone out to South Africa and done the same. Is that the reason for going out to New Zealand, and how valuable is that experience, or this experience, to you?
Yeah, it's obviously part of it. The rugby was one of the main things. But yeah, this as well, being able to, you know, I've been in the same environment in Queens for 6 years now. So something a bit different, something to maybe, you know, change your mindset on a little bit of things, to kind of get out of the, you know, the one club mindset where you're a Quinn kind of thing. But I think it's been good for just everything all round, like getting to know new people, different comfort zones, having to like start in a new city, just everything really. And I hope when I come back that I've made a little bit of a difference and come back a bit better. So yeah.
And of course, Joe, all avenues and all roads sort of lead to this weekend for you guys in New Zealand and in Super Rugby. And I know a lot of people will be getting up early over here to tune into Sky Sports and watch you guys play. I mean, for people who may be supporting Premiership clubs, what can they sort of expect from Super Rugby over the next sort of 10 weeks or so, do you think?
I think the things to expect are the want to keep the ball alive, for the ball to be in play for long periods of time, for people to look like they're dying out there, and yet someone will turn on a new level. Like there'll be a ball spillage and you think, oh God, that's got to be it. And then suddenly someone picks up the ball, kicks on and sparks something new. And they'll all, I think the differences and the thing people, yeah, we're looking out for is just lots of different sparks from, could be anywhere, like could be your own goal line, could be anywhere on the pitch, and some exciting rugby.
I know you'll probably answer this question, Joe, and say Blues is the answer, but who should, you know, sort of fans of Premiership clubs be wanting to support? Is there any similarities you can say that maybe all Blues play like Quins or anything like that, or is it just completely different in that kind of aspect?
It's completely different, I'd say, to all the Prem rugby. Obviously, people should be supporting the Blues back home, 100%. Of course, but yeah, I don't know. All the teams would be exciting. I think if you look at Quins, especially when we play some of our best rugby, if you look at like Wasps, and like when they played some of their best rugby, all those kind of guys where the play is exciting and there's lots of tries and stuff like that, I think that'll be the one to kind of look for. And I think a lot of the teams are definitely bringing that. There'll be a lot of tries. There should be anyway. So, yeah, I think just a good level of high scoring rugby and some exciting rugby.
Yeah, I think Rob said he's going to be supporting the Blues because of the stash that you guys have, the best stash in Super.
A stash.
Yeah, it's all about the stash, isn't it? Yeah. Have you seen the away shirts?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, the I'm going to try and have to take some of that home. Oh, it's so nice, yeah. Except I'm going to have, I've already had loads of people message me and just be like, oh, can I have, like, when you come back, oh, are you going to give me the vest, like, and stuff like that. Well, I need stuff myself, like.
Yeah, I need to buy one of those orange training tops.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they're cool, they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're nice. Just all of it, really. It's just, yeah, it's also, like, the vest and the, yeah, everything, really. It's just pretty cool. Yeah, definitely the white shirt.
And just from a personal point of view, Joe, you're obviously enjoying your rugby before the season lockdown. I think it's 3 tries in 6 games, I think it was, for the Blues. So how itching are you and how excited are you to get going again on the weekend? Because I guess, you know, the momentum over the last 2 months has probably dropped, but I guess you want to hit the ground running and pick up from where you left off.
Oh, definitely. Oh, I've got to get picked first. So, yeah, I've got to, yeah. I just want to be able to play and, you know, just be able to just show what I can do. And, you know, there's not too many games left, only got a couple, so just do everything I can to if I do play, to, you know, to do as much as I can.
And in terms of the team as well, Joe, I mean, I've been reading this morning and last night that, you know, this is the best start the Blues have had, I think, in nine or 10 years. And, you know, you were second in the New Zealand Conference before the season was suspended. So I guess as a team as well, when you throw Bowden and Dan in the mix as well, that things are really positive around the camp.
Oh, 100%. Like before the lockdown, yeah, we'd done a very, very hard stint. Like we'd to like 2 weeks in South Africa, like so winning both games in South Africa, something we hadn't done for, I don't know, like over 10 years. And then winning like one of the away games in New Zealand, one of the away derby games. Again, Blues haven't done that for a while. So doing that and starting the season with five wins in 7 games was something that, you know, like everyone was absolutely on fire for, everyone was buzzing for. And it was not an easy run-in, but it was a good run-in, like where we looked at all the games and we were like, these, you know, we can really, really do this. Obviously, lockdown stopped all that and COVID stopped it. But yeah, I think from now, it's a completely fresh slate. Like we're going in from a good form anyway, where the confidence is high. You've got the new boys coming in. The levels of training are ridiculous. Like the back lines, especially going against each other every day is crazy. There's competition all about the place. So yeah, there's no reason why starting the competition, we can't be on fire.
And just finally from me, Joe, in terms of the competition starting again, you now have fans that will be allowed back in the stadium. And I know on the Rugby Union Weekly podcast, you talked about that might be a missing element, so your friends and family can't watch. But that must be, you know, such an added bonus, if you like, that you will have friends and family and obviously the Blue supporters in the ground when you're playing at home.
Oh, definitely. I think wasn't there a game the other day where they had like cardboard cutouts or something?
Yeah.
Crowd noise.
Yeah.
Yeah, just glad it's not that, because I don't know, that would be quite tough. I'd imagine if you score, you get up and you're like, and then like you just have to like take some double looks and yeah, it'd be a strange one. But nah, I think it would be good to be able to have any like people at the game and stuff, especially like partner abs, like be able to have it here. Like there's obviously not too many games left, so. Being able to have, you know, people watching you that care about you and stuff will be a nice nice little bonus.
Absolutely, Joe. Well, it's been great to talk about sort of your career and sort of your time at Blues, and obviously we wish you well over the next couple of weeks. But now we're going to hand over to, well, normally it's to Mark who runs this section of the podcast, and it's becoming a very famous part of the podcast now, but we're going to leave it to Rob this week to talk you through so you can talk through your Mars 15. So over to Rob.
Okay. No pressure at all there. As you usually say, Chris, it's usually the best part of the podcast. But yeah, I'm excited to hear this one because you're the closest in age to me out of all the guests we've had so far. So,
who's been the other closest? Who's been there before that?
Who else have we had on? Sam James.
Yeah. Sam James. Okay. I've got one which I actually haven't got the answer to, but most of them I've got some good answers. So
okay. So the question is this: so the Martians have landed and they've challenged Earth to a game of rugby to decide the future of civilization. So not really a big deal. We've lost the toss, so the game is away at Martian Stadium, and the shuttle leaves tomorrow. It takes 4 weeks to get there, so you need a team of good players and good tourists. So any era, any player, any code. Joe Marchant, who makes your Mars 15?
So I started off pretty strong with someone I actually know, so Joe Marler. I thought the battle against the aliens might throw him off a bit. Obviously, if they think that's what everyone, you know, from Earth's like, then they might have a bit of a shock when they actually meet everyone else. So, and also for good morale on the trip. So I think he'll be 4 weeks locked away. Could be quite good. A hooker. I've converted a player. I've converted Bastero to hooker for, you know, for his physique and all sorts. But I've put him for his physicality and skill set for a hooker, as well as looking pretty terrifying.
Nice.
Number three, I've gone Castro Giovanni. So, obviously, party's pretty hard. We've seen that around the news. And obviously perfect for socials and team events for the long travel. Gone back, he's both at second row. It's just someone who's just not afraid of anything. So whatever they decide to bring off the spaceship, he'll go towards head first. And then linked with him in the second row, I've gone Will Skelton for pure size. Just, again, you don't know how big they'll be, so you need someone who's pretty large. Six, I've gone James Chisholm. Obviously, another Quinn's teammate. I had to put him in there, the hidden gem. Match any weirdness they throw at us, and perfect for the team socials and, morale aboard the shuttle. You know, when everyone's getting down, week three, when everyone's struggling, I'm sure he'll be right up there. Seven, put George Smith, one of my favourite players. Just king of stealing the ball and just seems pretty relaxed. So if anything's going wrong, I'm sure he'll just act as if it's nothing and everything will be sweet. And then at number eight, I've got Sergio Parisse, who obviously lived up in Paris for a long time. One of the world's best and would definitely know how to have a good time. But at nine, I'm not sure who I'd put. Like that's my only blank. So if you've got anything that you want to, anyone you want to chuck in.
Who have we had? George Gregan.
I had George Gregan in mind.
George Gregan, yeah, because I thought about him, but then I wasn't sure. I wanted someone like who would be like a real good, you know, just a classic nine who's constantly just to someone you want to chuck off the shuttle, I couldn't think of who. So maybe we'll skip him if you can think of one later. 10, I had Johnny. Obviously, you know, he'd be there orchestrating it all. They weren't always hit him. I've got on one wing, Jonah Lomu. No one could stop him back in the day, so who says the aliens can't? I've got at 12, I've got Manu, just one of the most physical centres. And again, like, if they can stop him, then fair play to them, because, I mean, it's pretty hard to. I've tried, it's very difficult. and then 13, I've got Brian O'Driscoll. So I've put him in there for good at changing and adopting, you know, to the opposition and bringing something different, especially against a team which you have no idea what they're going to bring. At 14, Nick Cummins. Again, similar to the Marler effect. Someone will be able to get the boys up when everyone's down. And if they've done a bit of research on him, hopefully they'll get a bit stumped by his post-match interviews and they'll be a bit confused by that. And then lastly, I've got Jason Robertson, just quick, agile. And if they are crazy big, then they won't be able to catch him because he'll be around everyone.
Nice team. I think everyone picks George Smith and Brian O'Driscoll.
Did they? All right. You have to really, don't you? You can't not put them in.
Yeah, very true. And then manager, coach, water boy, kit man.
So I had team manager, I put Harry Redknapp. Because we, like, everyone watched him on Arm Celeb and like loved him. So, but obviously he must be doing something right. So I thought definitely put him in there. Kitman, I don't know. Kitman would be quite a difficult one. I feel like someone who, I don't know, like a Jack Whitehall, someone who, like, I don't know, that everyone would just come to for their kit and like would almost like just someone that everyone can get stuck into the whole trip, but would also give them all the stash. Because, I mean, if you're playing in like an Alien XV, you know, there's going to be some crazy stash involved. So, and then Waterboy, I don't know. Maybe I'll probably go Adam Sandler, just straight out of the Waterboy. And, yeah. keep morale high. He's good at his job. He knows what he's, you know, he knows what he does. So, yeah.
Nice. And then, so you've picked manager and then just need team manager and then coach.
Oh, I haven't done a coach. Coach. I kind of put them in the same one. Coach. I watched the Last Dance documentary recently.
Yeah.
Also, I can't think of his name. I can't think of his name off the top of my head. So I put him in there as a coach because I think he's obviously one of the most successful of all time. So I'll definitely put him in there. And obviously, you have to manage all the boys. Like, I can imagine managing a load of those boys might be quite tough, and I think you'd be able to keep a steady ship.
And who would be your captain out of all of those great players?
Captain, I would go Bod. I'd go Brian O'Driscoll just to keep everything, just the ones everyone can look up to. And, you know, when things are getting real crazy out there, they can look to him and he'll give guidance.
Nice team. Love that.
There was a lot of thought into that. I was honestly sat there. I was watching TV in the background. My house was like, what are you doing? I was like, just making the best team ever.
Brilliant,
Joe. Well, Rob, I think you rival your dad with the hosting of that section, so we'll have to have a meeting after this and see whether you take up the mantle or not.
It's his baby, though, so he'll be a bit disappointed if he gets it taken away from him.
Well, Joe, it's been brilliant to catch up with you this morning, and like I said, this evening over there. We wish you all the best, obviously, in the remaining time you have over in New Zealand, and hope to see you back in the Premiership and with an England shirt on very, very soon.
Cheers, guys. Thanks for having me anyway. So, yeah, loved it. Cheers.
And as always, nice one to Rob and Dave for joining on the podcast. Dave, is there anything we want to add in terms of the merchandise things at the moment?
Yeah, just get yourselves over to lucid.co.uk. You can get 10% off if you enter code POD at checkout.
Perfect. Good time to get all the Lucid stash with rugby coming back. So hopefully the Premiership will be back sooner rather than later as well. So nice one to Rob and Dave again. Many thanks to Joe. And that has been Lucid's podcast in association with Talking Rugby Union.